Hey again, everybody. It's time for another episode of BitNote, where we'll be playing video game music and talking about the games they're from. Hope you have a good time listening. Let's start things off with a good epic theme. It's been a while since I feel we've had like a really good moving opening orchestral music, so here's the main theme from a game called Gun that was released quite some time ago. Well, in 2005, so not quite that old by video game standards, but it's certainly quite a game to remember. Have a listen. Boy, that's a really epic theme, and often it'd be playing just as in the game you're riding across the horse through the open prairie. Gun is essentially a Western game. I suppose when people talk about open world Western games, people might be talking more towards the good old fashioned Red Dead Redemption, released recently by Rockstar. But Gun came a lot earlier, and it was actually released at a time when there are actually fairly few Western video games. Now, I know it might sound surprising, but it's just in films there was this period, which I've gradually figured out about more and more, where it was just Westerns everywhere on TV, in the movies, everything. I mean, I remember one time, it's sometimes hard to remember exactly how powerful Westerns were, especially when, like me, you weren't alive when they were popular for the most part. But my dad always had a huge affinity for the Westerns. He just really loved them. And essentially, I one time found a book by his on Westerns. And the idea was it was all these famous Western actors who starred in Westerns. And it had not only their name, it was one of those collectible things, had not only their faces, but a list of the movies they starred in. And I flipped through this book. I think it wasn't fully filled out, but he'd done filled out a few of the collectible pictures. And I noticed I didn't recognize a single actor or a single movie that was mentioned in it. So, I mean, like, when we look back today, you know, you might hear the obvious Western names like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and Fistful of Dollars, and all that sort of stuff. But you forget that there was a huge deluge of Westerns, and the ones most people only know of or remember were only the good ones or the era-defining ones. But it was a gigantic genre at the time, and it's just, I suppose that's one of the reasons it kind of, maybe that's one of the reasons it became less popular, because people got a little tired of them. But anyway, in video games, the Western genre wasn't really represented that much. I mean, here and there, I mean, in one of the Zelda games does actually do a reference to spaghetti westerns by one of the towns you visit, which actually took me by surprise. I never really figured Zelda for taking inspiration from that area. But there had been games. Towards the end of the 90s, there was a game called Outlaws by LucasArts Games, which was one of the last first-person shooters that was in the old 2D style. And that was one of those games that definitely gets underrated. It had nice style, fun gameplay where you explore and a lot of shooting. And more recently, you have Call of Juarez, I think. I really don't know how to pronounce that, I apologise. Which was also, it was a bit Western. But like I said, there are not that many examples in video games, but Gun was definitely an early example of a good open world Western video game. The idea of the game is that you're a guy, you're arriving on the frontier and you have to deal with Indians and bandits, and you obviously have a city that's literally called Dodge City, and then of course you basically end up on this whole quest to, I think it's, to be honest, it's basically about revenge and just dealing with this really, really bad guy who's corrupt to the government and all this sort of stuff. And basically it's quite an epic adventure where you go around going through mountain passes and going trying to survive old steamships and retrieving all these items and storming forts. It's quite an adventure as well. It's an open world game, which or also called sandbox, which means that essentially you've got this great big area, and at the first the whole thing is cordoned off. You know, you're only able to visit certain areas. But as the game develops, it opens up into this wide area that you can explore, and of course on horseback, because it wouldn't be based in good old Western genre if you couldn't ride horseback across the plains. And sometimes you'd have that beautiful music to accompany it. The gameplay, you can also do some nice little quests and everything and upgrade your weaponry, and on a couple of occasions you literally take a look at wanted posters and have to go out and try to capture the person, or at least capture them or kill them, you know, dead or alive, taking the meaning very literally. You get more money, of course, if they're still alive. And of course you also do the you also go to see all the nice scenic locales and cliches from the Western genre, such as, you know, at one stage you break someone out of a bank, and there's one really nice messenger sequence where basically you're basically a courier. Well, not really a courier. You're the classic sort of like horse courier who takes the package on horseback and, you know, charges all across the prairie to bring it to the right person in time. I mean, that's a great mission. And you know one of the funnest things about that mission? At the very end, well, it's not really that fun. At the very end, you're doing a package for a railroad company, and at the very last mission, the railroad has been completed. And so, naturally, you don't do the missions anymore. So, it's kind of a good example that the railway being built is one of the themes of the game. So, it's kind of nice that through it, it's exploring the whole idea of the West being tamed by modern progress and everything. There's also actually some allegations that the game is a bit racist, largely towards Indians. Now, to be honest, you do kill a lot of Indians. Now, the way I see this, I mean, I could talk all about the racism in Indians and everything, but the way I see it is from a pretty straightforward perspective. The video game falls victim to what I like to call Space Invader Syndrome. Now, if you guys remember the original Space Invaders, and a lot of other games fall to it like this. The original Space Invaders, you have a row upon row of enemy coming at you and you shoot them. The enemies, the aliens in the classic Space Invaders, don't really have a purpose, a motivation, or really, really anything. They don't really stand for anything. They're just targets. They're just abstract idea of an enemy that's gradually coming down to defeat you, and basically they provide the entire impetus of the game. The entire game is about destroying these aliens, and the idea is that they keep coming and coming, because they can't run out of aliens. That would just basically mean that the game ended at that point. And the aliens can't stand for anything or have a story or anything, because, well, that kind of just distracts from the actual gameplay, which is, you know, shooting the aliens before they come and get you. Now, this might sound very simple, and it is simple. That's how original games were. You had a constant enemy, and it would have a gigantic supply of them, because that's how the game works. The problem came when games began to become more realistic and more, you know, detailed graphics, better storyline, better characters, and people decided to start placing stories in places more interesting than just standard, abstract sci-fi environments. The problem comes when people map like real life or real stories or whatever onto this video game template. People end up still being faced in the arbitrary roles of the enemy and the good guy. I mean, it's actually kind of almost hilarious, although tragic as well, about how many games this pervades. Obviously, if you're going to take real life from an inspiration, you need to realize that real life is subtlety. The enemy is not only an enemy, it might have its own motivations. The game idea might be to understand the motivations, or to try to figure things out, or try to navigate its way through a complex pattern. I mean, there's so many possibilities that real life has, so many intricacies, so many twists and turns, that basically video games have got a gigantic wealth to explore. But instead, video games pretty much go back to Space Invaders. You are a protagonist, you have a bunch of enemies to defeat, you must defeat them. There is no empathy, there is no subtlety. Sometimes you can get some nice tricks about tricks with the sound or about the setting that might make you feel hemmed in or whatever. But the whole core basic abstract of defeat the enemies is still a key part of the story. And the problem is that part got imported, just as in tons of other games, in fact most other games, any action game really, into it. So while you were now a cowboy and a lot of the enemies were now Indians, it was still taking the old thing of there's a horde of aliens that keeps coming after you, you must defeat them. And of course when you transfer this into the Wild West, there are a horde of Indians coming at you, you must defeat them. So essentially, yeah, a lot of the earlier gameplay, you've got a whole lot of Indians attacking you and your objective is to basically shoot them. Now, you got to shoot them to get through the level, and you're shooting huge amounts of them and they keep coming at you. I mean, it's like the same thing with every other video game enemies. You'd think if you killed 10 or 50 or 100 of them that the rest would sort of get a clue that they should play a little more defensive, but no. This is how video games work. The core gameplay mechanic is deal with these enemies and defeat them. Now, when this is taken, of course, into the cowboy setting and you're defeating enemies, of course it's going to be seen as racist, because you're basically depicting the enemy, i.e. in this case the Indians, has a bunch of simplistic items that are own as a bunch of simplistic agitators that's only purpose is to actually be defeated. And, of course, I mean, in real life, Indians wouldn't have been like that, or, you know, you could have found another way to solve the problem, or at least you could have tried to defer them or anything. But no, it's the standard action gameplay where you defeat the enemies. And, of course, when you map a real actual ethnic group or any sort of specific group onto these enemies, then it suddenly becomes a lot... that it suddenly can be seen as racist. And this isn't the only game that does this sort of stuff. A lot of games can often make the enemies be, you know, black or Latino or some other ethnic group. And that can easily come off as racist. I mean, unless you actually want to make the gameplay more involving or more full of depth, then it's incredibly easy to fall into that pattern, basically. I mean, most games are like that. Now, what this game does in order to go against that, and what other games do as well, is, you know, while you, in the early stages of this game, you do attack the enemies, as the game's storyline progresses, I mean, for a start, you're already being attacked by bandits as well, and other a lot of agitators. The Indians aren't even really the main threat of the game. As it goes on, it turns out, I think, this is going to be a spoiler, but... apparently it turns out that you're part Indian and you have to team up with the Indians, basically, and the real, real bad guy is just a typical grunt who's accumulated power and everything. So it's not... The Indians are really just early level on. And so that's... I suppose that's how the game, tries to deal with this, by just essentially showing, yeah, okay, you're mindlessly killing a whole lot of enemies, but that's really only at the start of the game and that it's really more complex than that. But, I mean, like I said, it's just... It's a thing with the mechanics, and it's extremely easy just to come off as mindlessly racist. I mean, to be brutally honest, if aliens ever do land on planet Earth, I can't imagine the amount of people who'd grown up with first-person shooters thinking that the only thing aliens are good for is just massacring. Or the same thing happens if zombies have an uprising and they actually don't turn out not to be such zombies, but actually people with feelings and thought and intellectual things, and they get completely massacred just for people who have been grown up to believe that zombies are inhuman and deserve only death. Like I said, if video games could have greater variety of depth and vocabulary to explore the intricate issues of human life, maybe this situation could be avoided. But something tells me that people will always just love this sort of games where you just have an enemy that has absolutely no sympathy and like bashing them off, and just bash them off and blast through the whole thing. And as long as games tend to be like that and people want that, there's always the risk that just people's just going to grab some convenient group that they're not that familiar with, throw them in, and just come off as racist. Remember, guys, whenever you get confused by this, just remember, racism is bad, and so is marginalization. But enough of that. I think we're going to hit another track from the same game. And that sort of music is if you want to get the heck out of Dodge, because that's literally the music of the gun game for Dodge City. Yeah, like I said, it's literally, Dodge City is a fun thing. There is a saloon. It's kind of by law. If you have this, there's a couple of towns in gun, but there's kind of a law that if you've got this big town with the one street and basically one of the buildings has to be a saloon. You can even play a bit of poker, but, you know, at that stage I didn't quite figure out how poker worked, so I just kind of gimped my way through it and just, like, threw out what random cards, and I somehow finally managed to win and beat the minigame, and they wouldn't let me play again. It would actually be until Dead Rising 2 that I would ever actually figure out how to play poker in a video game. And then I realized the most effective technique there was just to see if you had good cards, and if you did, just go all in pretty much every single turn. I know I learned a huge amount at the start by about being practicing and remembering that you mightn't always have the best cards, knowing when to fold them, when to hold them. I mean, it's tricky. You think you're smart, you think you're brilliant, you think you can find a way about the system, but so much of poker is just pure chance. And then I ended up learning that, you know, well, you know, there are always ways of, it's all about putting the chances in your favor. But then I got kind of pissed about how the games went on, so I just figured out the technique of going all in, and it seemed to work, more or less. But, yeah, like I said, the game's got a, I've been remiss, though. I haven't actually mentioned who actually composes the music from this game. His name is Christopher Lennertz. He actually is a huge guy when it comes to music, with a lot of music from not just video games, but also television and a lot of films as well. So, like, he's a pro guy, all right. Like I said, it's something that happens a lot in these games. You have a lot of real professional, I mean, it seems that a lot of the music I play in the show, the composers either seem to be like classic ones in the rich retro scene who, like, you know, new things, had to basically program their computer device. But from the more later age, most of the composers seem to be people who've worked in television or stuff, or have gained a huge reputation. Some of them actually just have worked in video games a lot, but it's just really interesting. It seems to be a bit of a shift in some ways. There's a lot more great music from that game. Some of it just really getting in the atmosphere of the wild frontier and just dealing with all sorts of unsavory characters and danger, but just pushing on through. But I think I'll change it to the music from a slightly more upbeat game now, Rayman 2. Have a listen. We'll be right back. And that music there is from Rayman 2, The Great Escape, a 3D platformer game released on multiple platforms where you control the eponymous Rayman as you defeat, in this case, the evil robot pirates who have done terrible, terrible things to your land. Rayman is just a fun, fun game. I mean, it's back when games were just, you know, just the innocent throwbacks. You were jumping around. You're basically this very simple character who actually doesn't really have a neck or like actual legs or arms. He's just like, there's the feet and the torso and then the hands, and it all just flies free form. I mean, it must be actually really great for animators, because I know a few things about computer 3D animation, and one thing is when you're like making an arm bend, the joint is always a tricky area. So the idea of just having just to do just the hands and the torso and the feet with all just empty space between and believe that the character is just somehow controlling all his appendages just telekinetically, it is such a relief for any 3D modeler or person who wants to program it. Just so much fun. Rayman, of course, is a classic video game character. I believe in France, when they were even like making up stamps of various video game characters, he was included as well. He is, of course, French. The game itself was developed by Ubisoft, and he's just been one of those characters that has come that has had a lot of good games. I believe there's a recent one called Rayman Revolutions out. One of the it's just, I suppose that's its trademark: bright, colorful 3D platformers and stuff. The music is also, in that case, composed by Eric Chevalier, and who's basically doesn't seem to have done that much. Well, okay, he's done a fair bit, but I wasn't really able to dig up much interesting stuff. But he's done very work for other films and stuff. And but what about the game itself? Well, I remember playing it back on the good old Dreamcast, and it was a fun game. You visited great locales. I think it did a lot of stuff that, you know, became defining of the platform genre, like how you move around, throwing enemies, auto-aim. I mean, I'm not sure it invented a lot of this, but it was just a great game for, like, just being fun and having this whole innocent quality to it, just jumping around. And also, of course, its techniques as well. I remember one little fun part of the game where basically you grabbed a gigantic barrel of gunpowder and then you held it above your head and you moved into a torch. Now, you normally think if you're holding a barrel of gunpowder and you press it right next to a flaming torch, it would kind of blow up and kill you and destroy everything around you. But according to Rayman, I learned what will actually happen is that the rear end of the barrel will suddenly burst into flames, shoot you like a rocket, and you'll be propelled along a great wide open expanse, and you can control exactly where to move and how to go, and then you'll finally get to the end and everything will be fine. So essentially, I suppose if ever I find a barrel of gunpowder, the first thing I shall do is put it right next to an open flame and hold on to it very tightly. But honestly, it's just, I really like the game for the innocence and the atmosphere, and also towards the end it gets pretty chaotic. You basically start riding this little missile that has legs on it, and the fun thing was it doesn't even seem to quite understand the concept of gravity, so you're always walking up and down and across all these crazy structures trying to keep your balance and everything. But I always felt that in France, they always cared more about, you know, they always care about art, they always care about expression, they always care about making beautiful things, and I think that Rayman is definitely one of them. I mean, Ubisoft has gone on and they have turned out to be a bit more of the generic publisher, but I've always looked to France for a lot of really classic, great games that push the medium, that push things or mean things or have more emotion. I always liked, of course, Fahrenheit, and later, also known as the Indigo Prophecy, is an example of that. Heavily inspired by American movies, but it still really takes its own inspiration. And then, of course, you've got the classic Another World, which I've gone on enough about. It's also very cinematic, but just great expression and even good gameplay as well. The gameplay of Rayman is pretty straightforward. You're moving the character, you move around, and you shoot these energy balls out of your hand. And also, if you hold down the button, you can charge up shots and throw it. So it's very simplistic, but like I said, you've got a lot of crazy locales. The music you play from that one is just taking place in this great big glade with forest sort of area, and you're jumping on lily pads and you're defeating the monsters and everything, and it's just, like I said, simple things but a lot of fun game. Normally what I'd do then is finish up with an ending theme, i.e. I'd finish up with whatever music is playing through the credit sequence. As you know, video games can have pretty long credit sequences, and there's also often a couple of songs they play, but in the case of Rayman 2, they've actually decided to make a single song that will cover the entire credit sequence, meaning that it lasts over 7 minutes. So I don't quite have the amount of time to play the entire staff role thing, but it does have music for the end sequence. So I'll play the music from the end sequence that and just hope that everything evens out in the end. So Rayman 2 is a beautiful game. To be honest, I was looking forward to more of the same, but what ended up happening was these rabbits, which are like sort of creatures in Rayman, ended up getting their own set of spin-off shows. I never really played any of the rabbits games. They just seem to be very annoying. But thankfully, the original creator of Rayman, Michael Ancel, went on to develop a couple more true Rayman games, the most recent of which is Rayman Origins. So plenty of good Rayman, and Rayman Legend is just to come. So still plenty of good Rayman games on our way. And other than that, well, thank you very much for listening. This has been David Collins with BitNote, and playing video games and video game music and talking about the games they're from. All the best.